You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, from her powerful speeches to her chosen role as first mom, we look at the meaning of Michelle Obama.
First, today, Emma Adams received an award for her work with Freedom, Inc., a grassroots nonprofit that seeks to end violence within and against low-income communities of color. She's also a co-founder of the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition. She's known internationally for her work as a U.S. delegate to the United Nations 2014 Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. She was also part of the first delegation to the White House for the LGBT Leaders of Color Summit.
Em joins us now to talk about her work here in Wisconsin. She's co-executive director of Freedom, Inc. Em, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, about the work that you're doing at Freedom, Inc. What kind of things do you do?
So Freedom, Inc.'s mission is to end violence within and against low-income communities of color, and we define violence very broadly. So that includes interpersonal examples of it, like sexual assault and domestic violence, and also systems violence, like capitalism and racism, and also police violence. And so a lot of my work is really engaging with folks in community, women, queer folks, and young folks, and building power where we can go out and create change around that violence.
It's interesting that you work within and against, because a lot of times people will argue that you have to do one or the other. If somebody talks about, say, police shootings, someone will say, oh, what about violence within African-American communities and vice versa? We've had callers say both on the show. Why is it so important to focus on both?
It's important to focus on both, because if you value Black life, if you think that Black communities should be thriving, you have to address both, because both of those are threats. And I think what allows us to do both in ways of integrity is that we understand that the root causes of both are the same. And so, given colonialism, racism, white supremacy, and a whole host of other issues, there's violence against us. And that violence happens within that community and also structurally from the from other sectors of life. But this is why we have to fight both adamantly so.
And I've seen you quoted elsewhere saying that ending racial prejudice, the attitudes of prejudice, isn't necessarily the top priority. It would be a good thing, but it's not the most important thing. Why is that?
Yes. So Kwame Ture, also known as Stokely Carmichael, said, if a white man wants to lynch me, that's his problem. But if the white man has the power to lynch me, that's my problem. And so though we think addressing racial prejudice is incredibly important, because I think people should love Black people. I love Black people. So it'd be great if everybody loved Black people. But in addition to attitude, or even what we say is even more important than attitude, is the ability to impact Black people. And so we believe that whether or not you convince someone to like you, you should have enough power, there should be enough structure around you, the culture around you, the systems around you should nurture and give you opportunity to thrive, whether or not someone likes you. And so that's why we challenge people to say, hey, not only should you be thinking about attitudes, or attitudes alone won't do it, instead you should be thinking about power and structure. So how do we keep Black people safe? How do we keep Black people alive, whether or not Black people are liked necessarily by people?
So how do you do that? Working with low-income communities of color, how do you empower them in that way?
So we, the majority of our work is in leadership development. So we've developed a host of culturally specific programs that are generation specific and also gender specific that really looks at the person's whole life comprehensively. So we have particular services around getting people to help manage the crisis that they're experiencing, whether that be domestic violence services, sexual assault services, or other services needed. And then we also have culturally specific programs that really looks at, okay, so how is my personal life connected to broader issues of social change? And we really politicize people that way. And then we test it all out. We develop grassroots campaigns that target real issues in people's lives, but also are really examples or show the way that people in communities are building power. And so that's our approach. And so we work within communities by people most vulnerable, the people who are targeted in violence. And then we work with folks, the folks who have a sense of their own power, and then they go out and create change.
We don't wait
for other people to do it for us.
We're talking to Em Adams, co-executive director of the group Freedom, Inc. And Em, I understand, I've been saying sort of generically low-income communities of color, but you reach out to particular groups, gender, sexual orientation. Why is it important to focus especially on people who might be doubly disempowered in some ways?
Because we know that if you solve the issues for folks who are most vulnerable, for people who have multiple identities that are oppressed, so women, black queer people, black folks with disabilities, black low-income folks, et cetera, we know that if you create a world and create systems that are nonviolent towards them, that you solve the issues for everybody. But you could very well solve the issues for just a small sector of the community, if those not most marginalized and everyone else would still be suffering. And so we focus on those who are most vulnerable to system and interpersonal attack.
As you work individually with people, as you say, to help build their innate power of leadership, what changes? What kind of things do you hear from them as they go through this?
We hear people have a lot more agency in their own lives, so really having a sense of their power to create change in the still in the communities that they're in. Because, for example, Freedom Inc. is not we are not resource rich in the sense that we will be able to financially pull people out of economic crisis. That's not our work. We don't have enough money to just dump a lot of money in the community. Instead, we work with people to understand how poverty, how capitalism are systems that are targeted towards them. And so people begin to engage in alternative structures. So people begin to look at, okay, how can our community be resilient under capitalism instead of just falling in the same sort of ways that the system is hurting folks? So some of our members have gone on to create cooperatives, for example. So you hear people say things like, oh, now I understand this way. Here's an alternative. Here's a creative way that I'm going to be resilient and withstand the conditions that we are experiencing. So we hear a lot of stories and testimonies that way. And then another thing that we see in here is people go into the community and begin to bring in their friends and families because they found such empowerment within the organization.
These are issues that have been around for literally centuries. They're global. They're huge. Are you able to find victories working at the community level, at this local level?
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right. These are issues that have been around long before we've been here. So we don't believe that we're going to single-handedly uproot them. But so we understand what our victories could be in a number of ways. So one, there's been a host of local policy issues that we've impacted. So in 2010, 2011, a lot of our work with Take Back the Land has affected local policy around housing, local policy around food, as we created more housing options, more options around land for urban gardening. So in addition to local policy, we also see a change in our folks. Because these are long and deep-seated issues, it's going to take a movement to undo them. And movement work is lifelong work. So what we also measure, which is incredibly important to us, is the number of new leaders that we see emerging, or the number of folks who are women, queer folks, folks with disabilities, who are emerging and really showing leadership and going out and actually organizing and creating change. And so measuring that type of power is also a huge victory to us.
What are some of your goals in this new year, in 2017?
Our goals are that which they were before. Certainly the Texas thing, given the new administration that is coming up in the next few days. So there are lots of considerations. There are going to be details and strategies that need to shift, but our overall goals around black liberation are the same. And so when folks say, what are you going to do now, or what are you fighting for? We're fighting for the same things, but how we fight and the barriers and the obstacles will look different, but the goal is still the same, black liberation.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was M. Adams, co-executive director of Freedom Inc., a grassroots nonprofit that seeks to end violence within and against low-income communities of color.